It's a first eight.
It's 8:30 New York time. Time to wake up America and stump the experts. Each week at this time, Lucky Strike throws a coast-to-coast party with four titanic brains furnishing the floor show. You provide the questions, and our experts try to answer them. For every question used, Lucky Strike will give you $10 in war stamps. If the question is muffed, Lucky Strike gives you a total of a $50 war bond, plus the 24-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Send your questions to Information, Please, 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City. If our editorial staff edits your questions a bit, don't fret over it. In case of similarity, we'll have to be sole judge of who shall be paid, and all questions become the property of Information, Please. And now light up a Lucky Strike as I present our master of ceremonies, book reviewer of the New Yorker magazine, Clifton Fadiman. Mr. Fadiman.
Ladies and gentlemen, Information, Please, as you know, just rolls right along without benefit of any preparation or rehearsal. Now tonight, Franklin P. Adams and John Kieran are again on the job, reinforced by the famous Scripps Howard Washington correspondent, Mr. Raymond Clapper, and the dynamic director of the Office of Price Administration, Mr. Leon Henderson. Now we're going to begin with a question from Henry Davidoff of New York City. It's based on your knowledge of familiar songs. At least we hope they'll be familiar. According to familiar songs, gentlemen, what in the first place goes up, what goes round, and what goes rolling along? How about beginning with something that goes up, according to a song, song about perhaps 20 or 25 years ago?
Come, Josephine, in my flying machine going up,
she goes. That's the one. Very good. That was the dynamic director of the Office of Price Administration being dynamic. That's very good. Very good. And
there's another one, though.
About going up? What one?
Up, down, up, down. There's a new one. But we'll save that.
What do you do down in Washington, Mr. Henderson?
Well, we look forward to meeting Fadiman.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you. You ought to be a diplomat. How about something that goes round? What goes round, Mr. Adams?
The music.
Oh, the music. Goes round, and also what else? Goes round and...
Round.
Yes, round and
comes
round.
Comes out here. Comes out here.
And comes out here. Now, how about something that goes rolling along? What goes rolling along, Mr. Clapper?
The Old Man River.
Yes.
The caissons go rolling.
All right, gentlemen. Very good. Apparently a very easy question sent in by Mr. Davidoff. And Mr. Davidoff is going to get Lucky Strike, in addition to the $10 in war stamps, is giving Mr. Davidoff and every person whose question is used in this program a 12-volume set of the Britannica Encyclopedia. Now, if you're a parent, Britannica Junior will help keep the kids busy. And if you have expectations, you just keep the volumes on the shelf for a while or give them to your favorite parent to boast of at least one Kieran in the family.
Oh!
Which is enough. Now, listeners, will you remember, for every question used hereafter, stump or non-stump, $10 in war stamps plus a set of the Britannica Junior Encyclopedia. All right. Now we're going on with a question from R.W. Thompson, Jr. of Morrisville, Pennsylvania. Gentlemen, if units in three different branches of our armed forces were given orders to move in the direction of these places, I'll give them to you, what type of map would each be likely to consult? What kind of map? Remember, there are going to be three different branches. Now, the first itinerary would be from Dieppe to Chateau Thierry to Saarbrücken. Now, what kind of map would our armed forces probably be using? You have to figure out what sort of armed force would make that particular trip from Dieppe to Chateau Thierry to Saarbrücken. Mr. Kieran.
Well, that's an overland trip.
It is an overland trip. And what sort of map would they use, then?
Well, they would use, they'd be interested in a railroad and road map of the terrain.
Yes, I guess a topographical map, showing hills and waterways and so forth, roads, hillsides, exactly. Now, suppose, gentlemen, the armed forces were going from San Francisco to Moscow by the shortest route. By the shortest route. What sort of map would they use? You have to figure out what they would use to get there. Mr. Clapper, was that your Mr.
Well, they'd use an airplane.
They certainly use an airplane, and how would they go with the airplane, and along what
approximately
route?
Approximately over the North Pole.
Yes, they'd use a polar map, then. That's exactly right.
They take the Great Circle route.
They take the Great Circle route, much shorter across the North Pole than it appears on the ordinary maps, that the flat maps that we see on the wall. Now, gentlemen, suppose our armed forces were going from Oahu to Tulagi to the Philippines. What sort of map would they use then, Mr. Henderson?
Well, they'd be going by sea.
Yeah, that's right. What sort of map do you ordinarily use for navigation? Mr. Kieran?
A chart.
A chart. Based on what projection, commonly?
On the depth of the water, and with all the markings of the shoals, and I guess the lights are out now, and the tidal currents, and such things as that.
We use the geodetic surveys.
Yes, but most of the maps used in navigation are based on
Mercator
projection.
Yes,
are they not? That's right. Well, that gives us 3 out of 3, gentlemen. Very good. I imagine we'll be making some of those trips pretty soon. How about this one from Louis Neuberger of Chicago? This is a question about collaborations, famous collaborations. On what works did these people collaborate? Now, the first set are Senator Burt and Senator Wadsworth. Mr. Clapper.
The Draft Selective Service Act.
The Selective Service Act, exactly, Mr. Clapper. Thank you. Now, how about Johnny Vandermeer and Ernie Lombardi? Do any collaborating, Mr. Henderson?
There's a famous battery collaborating on the... shutouts.
And a couple
of no-hit games.
Yes, two of them. Two consecutive no-hit, no-run games. Kieran, want to give us any more information on that?
That's right. There were two consecutive games, two no-hit games. The first one was played in Cincinnati, the second one in Brooklyn, and the second one was the first night game played in Brooklyn.
What time? Thank you, Mr. Kieran. Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Now, how about another set? Very famous collaboration.
That's the last time Brooklyn lost.
Colin Kelly and Meyer Levin collaborated in what, gentlemen? Colin Kelly and Meyer Levin. Mr. Kieran.
Well, they sank a large Japanese warship out there, and they got back.
Who did? Yeah. Which one of them did?
Well, Levin got back.
Yeah, Levin. What did he do? What was his position?
Bombardier.
He was the bombardier. And the famous hero Colin Kelly, of course, was the pilot. Kelly and Levin?
He told Levin to bail out, and he tried to bring his plane down, couldn't make it.
That's right. That was a very famous collaboration, and there'll be more like that, too. Now, how about this one from Libby Block of New York City? Gentlemen, our studio pianist is going to play for us the verses of songs which were very popular during the last war. Now, you're all, I should think, at a modest estimate, old enough to remember the last war. And you are to prove that you know these by singing the choruses. Is that clear? Mr. Clapper?
Not on this show.
Anybody can sing on. Let's have the first, Mr. Cohen. Let's have it, Mr. Henderson.
Keep the home fires burning while your hearts are yearning.
Come on, Adam.
All the clouds they fall away, they seem of home.
That was
there's a silver lining.
I think you know it, Henderson.
It's a tough way to make a living, but it's better than working.
Man's really good. All right, Mr. Kahn, see if we can stump Mr. Henderson on the next one.
There's a long, long trail of winding into the land of my dreams, where the nightingales are singing and the white moon gleams.
That's very good, Mr. Henderson. Thank you.
Written by Stoddard Case.
Long night of waiting.
Can't stop.
Into my dreams.
Who wrote that, Mr. Adams?
written by the late Stoddard King of Yale.
A very good song, too. And now the third and last. If you don't get this, all of you gentlemen, I'm ashamed of you.
Well,
over there, over there, send the word, send the word over there. Everywhere.
Attaboy. Even Kieran came in pretty well on that, Mr. Anderson. That gives us 3 out of 3. Thank you very much, gentlemen. On the whole, I think you'd better stick to the present jobs that you hold. How about this one from Mrs. Earl F. Stoner of Chestnut Hill, Pennsylvania? I'm going to ask you to recite for us lines of poetry that mention, say, 3 materials needed, a word about a material used in building a house, Mr. Kieran.
Under the greenwood tree, who loves to lie with me.
Yes, very good. Wood rather than greenwood. Very pretty. How about a couple of more? Well, now, how about the materials? Mr. Henderson, you're an expert on materials.
Oh, thus let me live unseen, unknown. Thus unlamented.
Let me lie.
Steal from this world.
Oh, steal. Very good. Steal. I'm not so sure that I don't prefer the singing. Mr. Kieran?
The stone was dropped by the quarry side, and the idle derrick swung as each man spoke of the aims of art and each in an alien tongue. Kipling.
What's it called again?
That's the conundrum of the workshops.
Conundrum of the workshops. Very good. That gives us 3. There are a couple of others. Stone walls do not a prison make. He was a little tin soldier. About another one from Kipling that involves the word plaster, Mr. Kieran. Remember any from Kipling?
Plaster Saint.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Adams. Single men in barracks don't grow into plaster saints. All right. Now, with Mr. Cross still having wonderful time on his vacation, Mr. Risedale has arranged with Mr. Speed Riggs, our tobacco auctioneer, to reenact for us a typical tobacco auction. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Yes, Mr. Fadiman. Picture a huge warehouse jam-packed with tobacco, over a dozen buyers competing for the leaf. And remember, each basket goes to the highest bidder.
Good tobacco, boys. $33.
$33 a 100 pounds is the warehouseman's opening bid on this next basket. But right away, a leaf company bids $34. Lucky Strike raises it to $35. That leaf company again, $36. Another cigarette company bids $37. An export company, $38. Lucky Strike raises it to $39. Yes, it's going. Ladies and gentlemen, we've given you a typical example of what happens when the finer, lighter, milder tobacco, the Lucky Strike tobacco, comes up for sale. Yes, at market after market, year after year, we pay the price to get the better quality leaf. To put it in a nutshell, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts.
Mr. Risedale, Mr. Riggs, and gentlemen, thank you for a very interesting demonstration. That took only 58 seconds. Now, how about this one, gentlemen, from Inez McGinnis of Denver, Colorado. How is the vacancy filled in the following cases? Suppose a member of the House of Representatives dies. How is the vacancy filled according to our law, Mr. Clapper?
Special election.
Yes, who calls for it? Who makes the announcement of the election? That's the correct answer. The governor calls for an election to select a successor. Now, suppose a member of the Senate dies. What happens then, Mr. Henderson?
The governor appoints a successor to serve until the next election.
Yes, and then the next election is... How about the possibility, suppose die? What happens then, Mr. Adams?
Secretary of State becomes vice president.
No, I don't think so. Mr. Henderson?
The Speaker of the House.
No, Mr. Clapper?
President pro tem presides over the Senate, but the office remains vacant.
Yes, that's exactly right, Mr. Clapper. I wish you'd come in just a little before Mr. Henderson and Mr. Adams. We're going to lose a $50 bond on that.
Well, it's about time.
It is about time. And remember that Miss McGinnis will have to carry her winnings home in a truck because Lucky Strike gives her a $50 war bond and 24 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica and, as in the case of everyone whose question is used, 12 volumes of the Britannica Junior Encyclopedia. Take it away, Miss McGinnis.
Okay.
Now, gentlemen, how about this one from Mrs. H.E. Williams of Brockton, Massachusetts? It's about pennies, famous pennies that have come up in literature or in real life. Who would not extend a credit of one penny? Who wouldn't extend a credit of one penny, Mr. Kieran?
The pie man.
The pie man. To whom would he
Simple
not extend?
Simple Simon.
Yes.
He would not extend that much credit.
Yes, he said to him.
Oh, me.
Indeed, I have not any.
Show me first your penny. Indeed, I have not any. Quite right. Thank you, Mr. Kieran. Now, what, gentlemen, cost a penny for one or two? Mr. Adams.
Hot cross buns.
Yes, hot cross buns. One a penny, two a penny, hot cross buns. Who gave too many pennies for a whistle? Mr. Clapper? No, no, that. Mr. Kieran?
Ben Franklin. Poor Richard.
That's the story. Mr. Clapper, how do you remember it? Remember where it's related? And under what circumstances?
Benjamin Franklin.
In Benjamin Franklin's. I guess.
Poor Richard's Almanac.
Or is it in the autobiography, Mr. Adams? I don't know. At any rate, Benjamin Franklin, who's carried away by his enthusiasm for a whistle, and he emptied his pockets, which were full of coppers, for a whistle that was worth much less. That gives
then
us
there's the five black pennies.
Well, just bring those up. Who wrote the five black pennies?
Mr. Hergesheimer.
All right, well, we got that in anyway. How about this one from the Reverend Herbert W. Prince of Lake Forest, Illinois? Who is speaking and who is being addressed? These are very short speeches. Here's the first. Stand out of my sun a little. Mr. Kieran?
Diogenes to Alexander the Great.
Yes, under what circumstances did he say that?
Well, Alexander the Great heard about this famous philosopher and went around and asked him, could he do anything for him? Diogenes said, yes, stand out of my sunlight.
Yes. We get what word from the story of Diogenes that we constantly use? That he belonged to what philosophical sect, Mr. Kieran?
He was looking for an honest man.
Yes, that's right, with a lantern.
You mean a Stoic?
I think he was a cynic, wasn't
cynic.
He? A cynic, yes. Of course, he was sort of a rude, dog-like fellow. We get the word cynicism from the sect to which Diogenes belonged.
Kitchen cynic.
Approximately, yes. How about this one? Who is speaking and who is being addressed in this statement? I can stand it if they can. I can stand it if they can. Who said that? And when? Not very long ago. Back to you, Mr. Clapper. You covered
Something
the event.
Something in the war.
Mr. Henderson?
I thought it was Churchill to the House of Commons.
No, but it was a man occupying a somewhat similar position in our country. It was Mr. Roosevelt at the second inaugural, which took place during a heavy rainstorm. Remember?
Oh, yes.
And he was urged to use a closed car, and he said, I can stand it if they can. Quite right. And the words are still applicable under all circumstances. How about this? It's a long time between drinks. Well, do you all know that, Mr. Clapper?
Governor of North Carolina to the governor of South Carolina.
How far back does that remark go, Mr. Clapper? Do you know? It seems to move
farther back than I do. That's as far as I can go. With.
Well, now maybe we better stick to Mr. Adams then. Mr. Adams, how far back does it go?
I was a little boy when that happened.
You're not as old as that because it antedates the Civil War.
Yeah, because it came up in connection with the Constitution.
It came up in connection with the state Constitution?
Yeah, that's the Constitution between friends.
Oh, is it a real story? I thought it was just sort of a made-up remark.
Maybe.
However, it's still useful. How about this one from Miss Sadie Huttner of Cincinnati, Ohio? Oh, Mr. Henderson, this is your evening. Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to sing for us. There ought to be some other word for what Henderson does. It isn't exactly talking, and it isn't exactly singing. But we have to sing three songs.
There's no ceiling on singing?
No freezing. You have to sing three songs mentioning different states that bound the state of Ohio. Now, first we have to bound the state of Ohio. Mr. Kieran.
Back home again in Indiana.
That's
enough of that,
that's
too.
Mr. Clapper.
My old Kentucky home.
Yes, you wouldn't give us a bar.
No,
I'll
spare you that.
Mr. Adams.
Oh, how I wish you.
Back on the farm.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's right. All right.
I would have put in the one about Illinois and all.
About Illinois?
That bounds Ohio, hey? Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't bound Ohio.
Well, I wanted to confess error.
You have to push those states together an awful lot before you can get that song sung on this program. Now, how about this one from Harriet Woodward of Salem, New Jersey? In what connection are these expressions, all of which have to do with color, related to the war effort? Here's the first. Purple Heart. I have to get 2 out of 3 on this. Purple Heart. It's in connection with the war effort. Mr. Clapper.
It's a decoration which I think originally came to the Continental, was used in the Continental Army and was revived after the last World War.
It is now, and is revived for this one, is it not?
Yes.
What's it given for, Mr. Clapper?
Well, extraordinary. I couldn't recite extraordinary heroism.
Well, I don't
and,
know.
And severe wounds,
yes,
I believe.
Severe wounds. Severe wounds, which would imply the phrase yellow alert. One we all ought to know. Yellow alert. Mr. Kieran.
Yellow alert. There are three lights that are supposed to be warning lights with regard to air raid warnings in this part of the country.
That's
or
right.
All parts of the country, as far as I know. I think it's a blue, red, and yellow alert. Anyhow, there are three different right. colors.
Yes,
and the last one is the boys duck for cover.
Yes, and what color is that?
I guess that's red.
That's red, yes. Red. The yellow, Mr. Adams, would mean what, would you say?
Warning.
Well, it's a warning to whom, though? Mr. Henderson?
I don't know. It's 10 minutes away, isn't it?
Well, it's a warning to the air raid wardens. It's a confidential warning. And the second warning is blue. I guess that means planes are approaching. And the third means they're practically here. So, folks, remember, yellow, red, blue, and red. How about the black bourse? Black bourse, Mr. Henderson?
That's a name for the black markets where there's illegal transactions in goods that are under ration.
Yes, I suppose they have
semi
black
bourses.
Semi-bootlegging. They have
it's
black bourses.
Full-fledged bootlegging, usually.
We have it everywhere in Europe, do we not, Mr. Henderson?
We have it here in some places.
Have
I'm
it here?
To say.
Well, name the places, and we'll get after them. The black bourse, the market...
Buy what we can. No offense, dear.
I can get it for you. I can get it for you wholesale, though.
How about this one from Hilda Friedman of Montreal, Canada? Now, the following are the first two lines of familiar uplift verses. Add the two missing lines to each. I'll give you the first two. You follow with the next two. There's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us, Mr. Kieran.
That it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of
us. That's right. And very good sentiment, too. How about this one? Little drops of water, little grains of sand, Mr. Henderson.
Make a mighty ocean and a mighty land.
And the pleasant land.
And the pleasant land. Yes, so Mr. Adams, do you know who wrote those very famous lines?
And none.
No,
well,
no.
It's attributed to a whole lot of people. Mrs. Frances S. Osgood, and Julia Carney, and two or three
Julia
other people.
Julia Carney is the one in familiar quotations.
Okay, let's give it to Miss Carney, shall we? How about this one? Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. Mr. Adams?
And departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time.
Hey, that's
footprints, that perhaps another.
It's rather affecting, Mr. Adams. It really is. And now, before we go on to the next question, Mr. Rysdale says there's one okay worth remembering when you buy cigarettes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the okay of independent tobacco experts. Their stamp of approval. That goes to Lucky Strike by such a wide, wide margin. At auctions all over the South, these experts see just who buys what tobacco. And they show how thoroughly they approve the tobacco sold American by their own overwhelming preference for Lucky's. In fact, sworn records show that among these independent experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen, with men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-1. Smokers, doesn't this tobacco expert's stamp of approval tell you better than 1,000 words that Lucky Strike means fine tobacco? Next time you step up to the cigarette counter, remember, in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And tobacco experts see us buy the finer, the lighter, the naturally milder Lucky Strike leaf. So smoke the smoke tobacco experts smoke.
Thank you, Mr. Rysdale. It took just 57 seconds. Now, how about this one, gentlemen, from Mrs. N.B. Millage of Miami, Florida? Who is entitled to wear this insignia? Now, the first is twin dolphins. Twin dolphins. Who wears those? Mr. Kieran?
I think a submarine commander.
That's exactly right. Submarine men. I imagine any of the men in the submarine service. And there's a submarine in miniature between the two dolphins. We don't see the insignia as often as we do others, perhaps. Now, how about the insignia known as the caduceus? Mr. Kieran?
Medical.
The Army Medical Corps. Mr. Adams, what were you going to say?
Medical Corps.
Army Medical Corps. What is the caduceus, Mr. Adams?
It's, I think, the wings of Mercury.
Mr. Kieran?
It's the twine, the twin serpents twined around the rod that Mercury is seen holding in his hand in most of the statues.
Yes, a reference, I suppose, to the healing...
Still on the back of a doctor's car.
It is still on the back of a doctor's car? So, Mr. Henderson, anything to add to that?
I thought it was related to one of the fraternities, probably Kappa Sig.
Maybe. How about
the medical fraternity?
How about crossed anchors? Crossed anchors would mean what rating in what service? I'll have to get this exactly. I have to hit it right on the nose, Mr. Adams.
On the arm?
Don't know where they wear it.
I think that may be a chief petty officer.
Well, it's a bosun's mate.
Bosun's
mate.
Was very sedate.
What's that from?
Get fond of amusement, too. That's from capital ship was for an ocean trip was the Walloping Window. Ah,
no wind that blew dismayed her crew or troubled the captain's mind.
Thank you, gentlemen. You better not start him, Frank. How about this one from Mrs. A.G. Stieglitz of White Plains? What famous events of literature or history took, well, in the first place, 40 days? What took 40 days, Mr. Kieran?
The rain that fell at the time that Noah launched his ark.
Yes, took 40 days for the flooding of the world. Now, what took 100 days? 100 days, Mr. Adams?
100 days war.
What's that? What is that? What war was that? That's 100 years war. You're telescoping things. Mr. Kieran?
It was from February 1st to June 15th, 1815. That was 100 days of Napoleon's comeback from Elba, which resulted in his further trip to Santa Helena.
Yes.
It's also the first 3 months of the New Deal.
Yes. Okay, now how about this one? What took 6 days? 6 days. Mr. Clapper?
Creation.
The creation of the world, yes, according to Genesis. All right, I think we'll have time for this one from Paul F. Wilson of Utica. In what battle songs are these numbers mentioned? 10 million strong. 10 million strong. Where is that mentioned?
Father Abraham.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's 10 million.
500,000 strong.
Well, it's, we're 10 million strong. Goodbye, sweethearts, wives, and mothers. It won't take us long. Goodbye, Broadway. Hello, France. Now, in what battle song is 100 circling camps mentioned? Mr. Adams?
Battle Hymn of the Republic.
That's exactly right. And in what one are 3 million souls mentioned? 3 million souls. Oh, it's a very good song that's been sung for many months on the radio. First came the Czechs, and then came the Poles, and then the Norwegians with 3 million souls. Irving Berlin's Any Bonds Today. And by the way, that sends a bond today of $50 to Mr. Paul F. Wilson and a set of the Britannica. Well, that's all we'll have time for. Thank you, Mr. Clapper and Mr. Henderson, for joining our party this evening. Now, in a few seconds, I'll announce next week's guests. Tonight, Lucky Strike has paid out 2 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica and 2 $50 war bonds. And speaking of bonds, folks, what do you figure on using for money if the Germans and the Japs win and put the squeeze? If you want one argument that'll set trip, remember this. The best investment is in America. I will be on hand, and our guest will be the author and news commentator, Quincy Howe. Remember to send your letters with questions and the correct answers to Information, Please, at 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City.